Our readings for the next few weeks are back to the lectionary and the Gospel of Luke. So today we are reading from Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays down the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." This is the word of the Lord.
Loving Lord, we give you thanks for your word and how you speak to us. Thank you for how you call us into a deeper relationship with you as we look to follow you. And we just pray now, Lord, that the words that I speak and the thoughts and prayers of all our hearts will be pleasing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to say, if on occasion you see me looking at my phone, it's because I've got my Bible on my phone. I'm not looking at Facebook in the middle of my sermon or anything like that. It's I've got the Bible passages written on my phone, in case that's what you see. It was interesting you said that's a lectionary reading. I've gone to the lectionary for a while. I have this kind of sort of a love-hate relationship with the lectionary, this kind of sort of set readings, as it were, of kind of what we're called to, you know, called sometimes to kind of like to look at. And I think it's right that sometimes churches do their own series on things, and that's brilliant, actually. You know, a series on a particular topic and choose their own Bible passages, and other times use the lectionary. One of the things about the lectionary is that it makes us look at passages that we might put off looking at, maybe. We might sort of, particularly those of us who are preaching, we think, "Oh, that's a bit tricky, that passage. It's a bit difficult, that Bible passage. I'll maybe preach on that passage another time." But no, it's good not to avoid passages. This one is a challenging passage, I believe, the cost of discipleship. I mean, it hits you right in the first couple of verses here. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Begins with saying you have to hate your family. You think, "Oh, this Jesus said those words, really?" You know, it's quite a striking, and you kind of think, and he got people to follow him by saying things like that. You know, it's I think modern day evangelists probably don't use that approach quite so much. It's probably much more how wonderful it is to come to Jesus, and we focus on that side of it. It's wonderful to come to Jesus. Whereas here we have Jesus saying, the cost. And I'll come back to a couple of bits and pieces, but I'm just going to refer to a few of these verses and a few of the kind of phrases and just things that I think kind of speak to us. First of all, the first couple of words there are, large crowds were travelling with Jesus. Large crowds. And it's quite striking. It almost seems as if Jesus is saying, "I've got so many people following me. Do they know what they're doing? Do they know there's so many people following? Do they all know what they're doing? Are they there to watch a miracle? Are they there to hear some wonderful story? Why are these people following? And what at different levels?" I think there's something there about, if we think about Jesus and his relationships with people, And we can compare that our relationships with people. Jesus' relationships with people, were a series of concentric circles that got bigger. So on the there was a huge crowd of people who were kind of following him. So we read things like the feeding of the 5,000, kind of thousands of people, you know, kind of who were there, sort of like, you know, just sort of picking up on what he was saying, maybe following to some sort of extent. And then you've got like a smaller group in of maybe sort of a few hundred, perhaps, who are like kind of really taking on board the things that Jesus is saying and really trying their best to kind of think, what's he saying? And they're literally kind of following him for a good chunk of time. Then you've got further in a smaller group of the 12, you know, the 12 disciples who Jesus really sort of spent a lot of time and invested in them and challenged them and sometimes challenging, but a good relationship with them. And then you have in, even closer in, you've got three of those disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were there at really significant moments. You know, they were there at the transfiguration up the mountainside when Jesus sort of appeared in glory, and they were there at the raising of Jairus' daughter. It was Peter, James, and John who were there in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus knew what lay ahead for him and was in a lot of anguish. And so they were much, much closer. So they had like different levels of relationship. Perhaps we could say the same in our relationship with other people. Throughout our lives, we probably have interactions with thousands of people. You know, kind of the odd hello or a little brief word or, you know, somebody in a shop or whatever it may be. Thousands of people throughout our lives we interact with. And then closer in, there's a smaller group that actually we've got to know over the years, one way and another. Closer in, there's people that we know well. And then really, really closer in, there's perhaps just one, two, three, four kind of immediate family or friends that really share the most personal times in our lives. The bit there I was saying about sort of Jesus and these relationships, even the people at the very sort of centre, really, his close group, the Peter, James and John, those three, sometimes they didn't seem to even get this, what he was saying about the cost. You know, they were saying, you know, they even at the Garden of Gethsemane, they still didn't seem to appreciate what was lying ahead and the cost of following Jesus. And so Jesus is really challenging here about depth. And I just thought, perhaps there's a question for all of us is, What circle do we want to be in, as it were, in a relationship to Jesus? Do we want to kind of have this kind of casual contact with him? We're at this sort of outer circle of kind of many, many, many people. Do we want to kind of know him a bit better and sort of study him a bit more and talk to him a bit more of a bit of a relationship with him? Do we want to, you know, be in that smaller group still who kind of like really follows him and receives from him and invests? Or do we want to be really, really close to Jesus? And be that, you know, really, really in that sort of inner group, as it were. How deep do we want to go with Jesus? And perhaps it varies for us at different times in our lives what we kind of invest in this. But it's just being close to Jesus. Nothing comes close to that, really. The wonder that is. So there were large crowds that were following Jesus, and yet actually not all of them realized. Not all of them went deep. Not all of them realised the cost of following Jesus. Secondly, this bit about cost, and this bit where he says about hating your family. Jesus says, and what are the words again? He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. What does Jesus mean by that? Well, actually, the only assumption that I can, the conclusion that I come to is that he was sort of saying it for effect. He was making a point, and he didn't literally mean to hate, because that's inconsistent with his nature and inconsistent with how he is elsewhere. You know, he tells us to love our neighbour as ourself. He tells us to love our enemies, you know, and you know, there's love, you know, kind of so much in the essence of who Jesus is. And then we're getting words here telling us to hate. I think there's just something here about actually as often when we interpret Bible, we have to say things tentatively. But my assumption here is that actually it's to make a point. It's to be really striking, make a point. Sort of, have you thought about what it might mean to follow me? What it might mean to follow me? And the priority that you need to give me and what that might cost you. And it's interesting, the cost of discipleship and the breakdown of family relationships and things, cost can mean, the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus is different for different people in different countries. You know, for us, our lives, for us here in this country, our lives aren't at risk for following Jesus. In many parts of the world, people's lives are at risk for following Jesus. And I remember being struck, I remember hearing that throughout the 20th century, there were more people killed for their faith in Jesus than the previous 19 centuries put together. So this kind of persecution thing is still, and you know, the first 16 years of this century, there has been a lot of persecution of Christians, and there is to this day in many, many parts of the world. The Middle East is sort of an obvious example, but in many other parts of the world as well. There's kind of like threat of imprisonment, threat of death, threat of torture. The kind of to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus, to meet in public, to worship Jesus in the way that we're doing now, is a very, very dangerous thing to do in many parts of the world. In this part of the world, we do have a cost in different ways. There can be a cost in our relationships with one another. There can be a cost to sort of stand out and be different, and to say something that's going to be different to what other people think, to be different to the way the rest of the world thinks. There can be a cost. People might think you're odd, or just think, oh, that's ridiculous to believe that, or whatever. You know, you can be sort of laughed at, scorned. Sometimes it can cause actual real division in families. As I mentioned, I work at Wakefield Hospice, and I found it very interesting to see how being a Christian can be a division there between families. I think of a situation. There was a woman in the hospice who was approaching the end of her life. She was still able to talk, but she really didn't have much time left. And she really wanted her local vicar, who she knew well, to be with her and to spend time with her and to pray with her and to talk with her and comfort her. I had her family approached me and say, can you get rid of him? We want to spend time with our mum. We're not religious. And he's in there spending time with our mum and talking to our mum. And we want the precious time with our mum, thank you very much. And she was like, so they're trying to get me to... So she wanted the comfort of this vicar. The family wanted him out. And I was like, ooh, you know, there's a tricky situation. And I've had it the opposite way round, where the patient, you know, has never appeared to be particularly seeking and looking after things of faith, and is perhaps sort of indifferent and not interested. But I've had family members who've come up to me and said, will you get in there and kind of, you know, they're approaching death, will you get in there and kind of preach the gospel at them and you know, and really kind of give it to them, sort of thing. I think, oh, you know, there's a, it's quite acute there, actually, that sort of the differences, the challenges that can come up with family members and actually following Jesus. You know, yes, it's strong words here that Jesus says about hating families and things, but actually there's a reality that division can come about as a result of following Jesus, and there's a cost to following him. So I've said about, first thing I said was about sort of the large crowds and then smaller crowds, and think just just something just to think about, where am I in my relationship with Jesus? How deep am I willing to go? Am I willing to be close to him and the cost of that? Or I just want to be sort of on the fringe, as it were, and just sort of be moderately interested in Jesus, but not really kind of get stuck in, as it were, to all that it means following him. Secondly, there is a cost for all of us. Say, some parts of the world, it's life and death type stuff. And for others of us, perhaps in this country, there's a cost in different ways. And you know, perhaps you can think about what that might be for you. And just the third thing that I just thought to say is that actually, just a line that came up that I heard recently about salvation is free, but it costs everything. You know, sort of like it cost Jesus everything. What he had to do for us was phenomenal, laying down his life for us. And ultimately, it's worth it for us. Even if there's a cost to following Jesus, ultimately it's worth it. We have those phrases, you know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life in abundance. You may have life and you may have it in abundance, living life to the full. And in Paul's letter says, no eye has seen, no mind can conceive the wonders that God has in store for those who love him. Just sort of some beautiful words there, actually, that yes, there's a real cost to discipleship, a cost of following Jesus, but ultimately is worth it because of who he is and what he brings to us. Just thought maybe if we could just, let's just be quiet for a few moments, just with your own thoughts and prayers. And then I might ask you if anybody has any suggestions about what other things there might be that are a cost of following Jesus. If nobody has anything to say, that's absolutely fine. Let's just be quiet for a few moments with our own thoughts and prayers.